Bart Scott.
All right, we're back. Welcome back to Inside the Jets. Eric Allen and Bart Scott here at the Wyndham Hamilton Park.
Still sweating, man.
Bart does not have his water tonight.
No, I had to go bribe my kids. They're like, listen, man, daddy will buy you a pony if you just be still for like 20 seconds.
Listen, I think you're doing a good job managing things tonight. You have three kids here. Yeah. They're supporting their pops.
Well, two kids and one baby.
Okay, two kids and one baby. Our player segment. Player guest segment is presented by M&T Bank, the official community bank of your New York Jets. Without further ado, let's bring in Jets cornerback Morris Claiborne.
Give it up. Listen, you must have called in a favor. Did he call in a favor, man, to get a big gun this late? Because, you know, I thought we were going to interview the Omelet Man was going to be our guest or something today.
I've been asking for Morris for weeks, actually, and I think this is date night for you, is it not?
Yes. I got to use my card wisely.
You got to use your card wisely. Spoken like a wise man. Let's talk to you about your perspective about the quarterback situation here. How tough was it for you to see your teammate, Josh McCown, a leader on this ball club, a guy who's really helped develop a culture here, and this is a tight-knit group, and you've become part of that. See him go down in Denver with a broken wrist, and now he's out for the year.
It was tough. You know, when I saw him get up and walk off the field the first time that he left, you know, I was like, what's going on? You know, like, this guy been here the whole time. You know, this has been our leader. And when you see him go down, you know, you don't care what it is. You know, you want to know what it is. Is he coming back? You know, and like, so when he's a tough guy.
Yeah.
To put that out there, he's a tough guy, you know.
He took that shot on the scramble. He gets the first down and the third down scramble.
Right.
Take
right.
a couple shots to the midsection. Then he comes back. And then in the third quarter, you see him go down again.
Yeah, after that last time when I seen him go down, it was like wow, like.
Yeah.
Like, once again, that feeling that I had the first time, but he was okay, so I come back down. But the last time, you know, you get that same feeling. And when I saw him walk into the locker room, you know, I knew it had to be something serious for him to be walking off and going that way.
Why have you guys gravitated towards him from the get after he signed here as a free agent?
I mean, we got here around the same time. So when you get to know a guy that early, and you hearing all the backlash he's getting from everybody, you know, it's never a good story out there on him as a quarterback or us as a team, you know. And you kind of gravitate together after that. You know, we feel like the world
Bunker
is against
mentality.
Us anyway, you know. So you form all those different type of bonds with everybody in the locker room because it's going to take us all, you know, to come together. And that's what it is. You know, we just got that bond with one another.
Now, you guys have struggled on the road. Why has that happened, and how can you fix it? You know, how can you guys get off to a better start or a better performance, not play so flat on the road?
Man, just sitting over there listening to you guys, you hit it. You know, it's the energy. You know, when you're at home, it's easy to play in front of your home crowd. You know, you come out, the music jumping. You know, it's easy to hype yourself up, and everybody hype themselves up for those type of games. But then when you go on the road, like you said, you got to bring your own energy, you know, because everybody's there is against you. You know, they're not playing the songs you like, you know, in the stadium. They're not doing none of that, you know. So you have to bring your own energy. And coming into that game last night, like me sitting over there and hearing us talk about it, like it don't sit right with me.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it don't, like, it just does something to
me. Well, I'll tell you what, you're never going to win a football game if you don't score a point. So you didn't get help there, but I know you, as a leader on the defensive side of the ball, are going to point the finger at yourselves and say, hey, listen, we had a chance to get off the field in that first possession, and they set the tone with the field goal drive.
And that's been the story on the road lately. You know, the opposite team coming down the field, that first drive when we get on the field,
yeah.
You know, which can be a three and out. You know, a three and out on the first drive.
Yeah.
Everybody's up. Everybody's
up for
this
game. You had them third and six.
Right.
On the third play of the game, then there's an offside penalty. Then
right.
they convert.
And when they go down and score points, you know, on that first drive, it's different.
Yeah.
You know, you want to go three and out on the first drive. Get everybody going. You know, when you go down and you get points, it's, all right, you know, we'll get the next one. Oh, we had that one.
Right.
And we let it slip away with penalties and just giving up play, especially in my secondary on this back end. We gave up too much, and me, myself included.
You were in a tough matchup for most of the afternoon.
I should have been way better than that. It was no way that guy was better than me. I should have been way better.
And you're talking about one of the NFL's top receivers, Demaryius Thomas.
Yes. Well, explain to the listeners the difficulty it is. You talk about, you know, size, speed, you know, his power, and sometimes it's not always about the speed, but sometimes you can create separation with his physicality.
Right, right. I mean, he's one of those big receivers who, you know, he don't have a lot of wiggle with him. He's not the fastest guy on the field, so he's big. Catch radius, you know, he has it. So he wants you to play into him. You know, you get into him, and, you know, his catch radius, you can throw him open. You know, he made the quarterback right, you know, if you throw it up there right to him. You know, so he's a great receiver, you know, but I should have been way better than I was last night coming into that game, being able to guard him. I should have been better, much better than that.
Now I wondered, I played my entire career in the AFC. Now, you went from one huge market, you know, in Dallas here to New York. What's the difference in, like, the conferences? You know, you go from the
NFC East.
NFC East to the AFC Northeast.
AFC East now. Yeah.
Right, right.
Listen, you left Baltimore a long time ago. I'm really upset at you, Bart Scott. Now, leave that in the past.
Now, what's the difference as far as, like, from conference to conference and from, league to league, so to speak?
I mean, it's – at the end of the day, man, it's football. You know, no matter – you know, what conference you're playing in, you know, eventually you're going to play some of everybody around the league, you know. So I don't feel like, you know, the conference, you know, mean anything. Vice versa, if it was in college, you can say, like, that conference. But I feel like in the NFL, it's the best you're going to get. You know, so everybody in here, you know, is they match up.
You know, what was weird to me, because when I came from Baltimore, I was so used to everybody in that league being so physical. Mm-hmm. And then coming to the AFC East, you know, everything was spread out and everybody kind of won back, you know, offenses and defenses. And, mm-hmm. and if I'm correct, you play in a 4-3, and you guys mm-hmm. here play a 3-4 scheme, more of a man-to-man scheme. Right. You're going from a basic cover two under Marinelli, right, Marinelli?
Right, right. Yeah.
So you're going from basic cover two to being on that island. Like, right. What was that adjustment like?
I mean, it's been easy. I mean, I've always felt like, you know, I was that type of corner who can go down and press, you know, and be in receiver's face. So I've always liked, you know, the man-to-man scheme. And being put in that scheme with Coach Marinelli, you know, it was a lot of man played in that scheme as well, you know, but a lot of people know him from his zone and cover two and all right. that. But we played a lot of man-to-man in that situation too. But, you know, we also, you know, played a lot of zone. And then coming here, you know, it was a mixture of both of them, you know, being able to do certain things like trapping and those type of things. And, you know, playing as a corner, whenever you play corner, I mean, it's pretty much easy, you know, because either you're going to be man-to-man, you're going to be pressure, you're going to be zone, you're going to be off, you know where you're third, you know, and that type of stuff. So corner position, I feel like, is one of the easiest positions to learn.
Eric Allen here with Bart Scott. We're joined by Jets cornerback Morris Claiborne. Morris, I know you weren't happy with your play Sunday.
We bringing it back up.
specifically. Yeah, well, no, what I do want to say, though, is I want to look at your season as a whole. I think that you played very well at a high level for this team. Where would you rank this? I know your story is not completely written mm-hmm. because you have three games to go. Mm-hmm. As far as your career is concerned, where would this season rank at this point?
You know, I've definitely felt like, you know, I've been one of the top corners, you know, in the league this year. Especially if you go back and look at, you know, really trailing a guy, really going everywhere he goes, the top receiver on whatever team that is. You know, and I've been able to do that the whole season, you know, and you haven't been hearing nothing about me. You know, he's getting aired out,
right.
You know, and stuff like that.
You haven't been on Moss.
Right, right, right. You know,
right.
So obviously, you know, I felt like I've been doing pretty good. You know, the coaches have been, you know, pleased with my play. But, you know, I'm always trying to go further. You know, I'm always, you know, trying to push myself to be, you know, the best more I can be each and every single day.
Well, that's my point, is that you were a number 6 overall selection in the 2012 NFL draft out of LSU, and you had some good runs of success there, interrupted by injuries at time. Right. And when I look at your season here, I think this is the best Mo we've seen so far.
Definitely. You know, I like I said, I felt like last year, you know, before I got injured, you know, was some of my best work, yeah. you know, in the NFL. And then, you know, coming here, you know, being able to do the things that the coaching staff allowed me to do in the defense, things that I love to do, you know, I felt like I succeeded at it, you know, and did a good job at it.
Why has this worked for you as far as the culture is concerned, the environment is concerned? Because from day one, you've been wearing that smile. It's been permanent. And you brought positivity to the organization. And you said, hey, listen, this is kind of like a second chance for me, a fresh start.
Yes.
And you really seem to embrace it here.
I mean, I love it. You know, early on in my career, you know, being injured and stuff like that, like, you know, hearing what different people have to say, you know, it takes a lot from you, you know, especially when you're on social media, you listening to everybody. Like, and one thing I said that I'll never let anybody do ever again, like, it's take the love that I have for football away from me. Like, this is what I've been doing since I was a kid. This, you know, this is what I know. And I let someone steal that love from me.
So there were times in Dallas where you were battling.
Oh, definitely. It's times where you wake up, you don't want to go to work.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, dang, I got to go up here again. You know, you have those moments. But, you know, obviously I was strong enough, you know, to pray about it. You know, I needed God a lot during those times. and just try to let it go and keep working as much as I could.
Now, what have you done differently? You know, John Melanie and his staff is tremendous in keeping guys injury free. I mean, I'll knock on some wood for you because I don't want to jinx you. But I mean, anybody that can keep LaRon Landry healthy for a year deserves a Nobel Peace Prize or something of that magnitude. You know, what have you done differently as you mature and learn more about your body and invest in your body? What have you done differently to keep yourself healthy and on the field this year?
Just listening to some of, you know, the great words, you know, of Sean Lee and Dixon Witten, you know, one of the main things I took away from that, you know, I'm always asking them, man, what do you do?
Right.
Like asking Jason Witten, like, what, how do you do this so long? Like, and do it at a high level, you know, and one thing I always see him do is stretching. Yeah. No matter where he's at, he's stretching. You know, he always run his little rope around, like, he's stretching. And I asked Sean Lee the same thing, and he's always rolling out, stretching, you know.
So is that you now?
That's me now.
So you're the guy stretching.
I'm stretching.
You're 27, right?
Yes.
You're a yoga master.
Now, do you consider yourself the old guy in that room with Buster?
With Buster.
I know Buster's 27
Buster,
as well.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. You know, it's a fact. You know, we're the oldest guys in there. And when I first came here, you know, I didn't go do the look at the depth chart or anything like that, you know, because I'm thinking, I'm worried about myself. I'm not worried about nobody else, you know. I ain't got to worry about what they got. If I'm good, I'm good, you know. So I didn't really look at who was here and what, you know. I just came in, and then I remember in the off-season workouts, you know, I'm the new guy here. You know, I'm trying to see what everybody got, so I'm falling back in the line, you know, doing the drills and stuff like that. So then Buster was like, hey, you know, you're one of the oldest guys here.
Yeah, like, Grandpa.
Buster definitely reminded you of that.
Come on,
sure.
Pops.
I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, yeah, man, everybody here probably played a year. You know, they've been here 2 years. And I was like, what?
Now explain.
But my mindset changed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As soon as I got that news, my mindset changed. I was in the front like, nah, I'm in the front of the line. You know, I want to start this drill. I'm going to show you what it looked like.
Yeah, right.
You know, I might be the oldest, but I'm going to show you what it looked like.
And that's the one thing that you'll notice at practice each and every day, Bart. You go out there and see Denard Wilson with Morris Claiborne and Buster Skrine. They're always working on technique. That is the first thing this guy does on the practice field.
Yes.
Every day.
Every day.
Well, it's about being a pro. You know, to go from good to great, it's about the little things. Mm-hmm. You know, it's about being a technician, because what happens is when you get tired – or you get older, you have to rely on your technique and your fundamentals, and those things never change. You know, greatness is defined by doing the little things on a consistent basis.
Right.
You know, so I've been there, and you know, I know it's a different role from you. You know, I went from being behind Ray Lewis and, you know, Ed Reed and all those guys, Jonathan Ogden being the leaders, and it's a different type of pressure because, you know, they hold you accountable because they watch everything that you do. So I know that maybe be a shock to you, but, you know, what do you kind of tell these young guys how to be a pro? You know, somebody that may be injured on the team, mm-hmm. that's going through what you went through, because you speak about Sean Lee. Sean Lee's been injured often in his career as well,
right.
You know, so I know he's tried different things, but what do you try and really drill into the young guys as far as being a professional?
Just be a professional. You know, take care of your business. You know, understand your business. You know, what's going on the football field. You know, like if you injured, you know, take a seat or something. you know, chill out. Or if you feel like this is something you can go through, you know, you go through it, you know, because I done been there in my life, you know. So one of my main things is, you know, getting in the cold tub, getting in the hot tub. You might not want to, you know, but you might want to dip your body in there and get back out, yeah. You know, stuff like that, you know. And when they leave a facility, you know, when you leave a facility, you know what I mean, handling your business. You know, I'm not trying to tell you how to live your life, handle your business, do what you got to do, but understand, like, this is a job over here, and it ain't going to wait for you, you know, no matter who you is. You know, so you got to be here and be ready and straight for that no matter what you do the next night.
Inside the Jets is supported by Victorinox, Swiss Army, Eric Allen alongside Bart Scott, Morris Claiborne here. You're in that defensive backs room every day. You're speaking about young defensive backs. How about these two safeties? What can you tell us about Jamal Adams and Marcus May?
They're great dudes.
Yeah.
You know, both of them, you know, they love each other. You know, they love playing with one another, you know, and they love playing with the guys that are around them, you know, and they bring so much, you know, spirit, you know, and jokes and stuff into the room, you know, and live in
the room. Keeping you forever young, old man?
Right.
Why do they compliment each other so well on the field, though, you think?
I just think it's that their attitude. You know, they got a fun, playful attitude, but then when they get on the field, it's like both of them, like, transfer. They transform to something else, you know, and it's like you only can see it if you're there.
You're a physical player at the cornerback position, and the thing that I like about both of these guys is, man, they come up and they come up and hit you.
They will hit you.
And they like the contact.
Yes, they will hit you and talk crazy no matter who around them. You know, like when they're going, they're going.
Yeah.
But that's what we got to get on the road.
Right.
You know, we got to get that on the road.
Well, I'll tell you what, Jamal probably going to be talking a lot this week.
Oh, definitely.
And he'll be looking in the stands because he's going back to Louisiana.
Yeah.
And so are you.
Right.
How did you guys not win like 35 championships, man? LSU is a factory.
This is something.
They're a factory, man.
And we're just not talking about defensive backs, Morris.
We were looking. We were doing our studying.
It's all around the league. I mean, it's every position. It's like they're producing them.
How can you guys not win anything, man, with all this talent?
Man.
Les Miles, what the hell were you doing, man?
Man, I love Les Miles. I love Les Miles.
Don't put it on Les. Come on.
I love Les Miles. But, you know, I honestly don't know. You know, you can keep blaming it on, oh, they're young, you know, so you can keep bringing that up. But at some point, you got to grow up.
Yeah.
Do you guys have a fraternity? You talk about all the guys that represent LSU. Do you guys go back and train in the offseason? Or how active are, you know, you guys? You speak about, everybody always talks about the U and their commitment to their, you know, to their school. Do you guys go back often?
I go down there every now and then when I can get down there. But lately in my off seasons, you know, it's been rehab.
Yeah.
So I haven't been able to get down there like I want to. But, you know, I know I still talk to a lot of the guys, and a lot of the guys are always down there. You know, they FaceTime me while they're down. They're like, look what you're missing, you know, stuff like that. But, you know.
Then you put up your check. Let me show you what you're missing.
What does that term mean to you? DBU, Louisiana State University.
It's like you said, we produce them, man, and it's like it's a standard. And, like, you don't get taught this standard. It's like when you watch LSU football, you know what it is. And then when you come there and then you watching the guys before you and as they leaving out, they leaving their mark on how it's supposed to be done. And it's just going around.
So you speak of a standard. How do you instill that same mentality, that standard in this Jets locker room so that you guys would talk about a young team, that you write the mission statement and say these are our expectations, and this either you get on board or you get off the ship?
It starts with you, I feel like, inside yourself. When you step up and keep making those big plays, then you ain't got to say nothing. Those guys going to follow you. And then when it's time for you to say something, you better make it mean something to them.
So basically lead by example, and you got to make sure that you always do what's right.
Because you got to be right first before you say you're a leader. Like you could be here and not doing everything the right way, but at the same time, when it's time for you know, we got to do this, we got to do that. And believe me, the guys around you looking at you like, well, you ain't even there now. You was just on the board all week.
You got to walk the walk.
Right. You got to walk the walk. And when those guys see you making plays and they feel your energy out there on the field, then you got everybody.
So other than yourself, who would you say are trying to wear those shoes? Because those are big shoes to fill.
They're some big shoes, but I feel like it's not one person. It's just individual.
Right.
I feel like it's everybody all together, you know. But on the defensive side, we look at DeMario Davis as their captain, okay. as their heartbeat, you know, because he's a guy who's doing it, yeah. and he's talking when he's doing, you know. So, of course, you know, we listen to him. You know, Steve on the defensive line, you know, we listen to those
Steve
guys.
Steve McClendon. Yep.
Yes, we listen to those guys. And on the back end, it's me, Bus, and, you know, and our rookies. We're teaching our rookies, like, don't be silent. You know, right. So it's our whole back row. You know, when we got a problem with something, we don't like how something is handled, like, we all going to speak together.
Who do you think the assignment is going to be for you this week against the Saints?
I don't know. I don't know just yet.
Who you want?
Yeah.
If it was up to me, I'd go at the whole field.
This is a different Saints team, though.
It is. You know, it is. You got to give them all the credit. I mean, Drew Brees is Drew Brees,
yeah.
you know, at the end of the day. But this team that they have right now and the things they're doing with being able to run the football and keep running the football and getting positive yards, eating that clock up. And you got Drew Brees who can drop back down third down, spread everybody out, and he's going to find an open guy.
Yeah.
Period, point blank. You know, a guy who has seen all the defenses, it ain't much you can trick him with, you know, and stuff like that.
How many times did you face him?
I believe three times.
Yeah.
In my career.
How'd it work out for you?
I think we won two of them.
There you go.
Out of the three, yeah.
So how do you take this energy? Because, listen, when that dome gets to rocking, it gets to rocking, it can be overwhelming, and you got to try and silence that crowd. With that being said, you got to stop and get off the football field. You can't fall down early in the game because they will step on your throat. Right. You talk about Sean Payton. He's one of the most competitive, you know, coaches. I've only had maybe three arguments with some coaches. He was two of them. You know what I mean? He's real competitive. You've seen him with the choke, you know, and all that stuff in Atlanta. How do you get out to a fast start, and what do you do differently to make sure that you guys have that energy and that passion on the road this week?
I feel like for the defense, we're going to have to get off the field on third down. You know, and if we give them anything, it's field goals, and we don't want to give up too many of those. And for the offense, it could be simple. You know, we have to count on you guys to control that clock, you know, run that football, keep Drew Brees on the sideline, and when it's time to get on the field for the defense, we get off on third down and get takeaways.
How important is it for you guys to set a physical tone early? How important? You talk about turnovers change games, but big hits change games as well. How do you set the physical tone and get their respect? You know, talking about that running game, you know, it's going to be tough because you're going to be asking the front seven sometimes to stop their running game maybe with a light box.
Right, right. It's going to take some early pressure, man, you know, because you know they're coming in to run that ball. You know, they're going to establish that first is the run, you know, and why wouldn't you with the two guys you got running the ball? You know, so we're going to have to come down early, and you're going to have to hit them pads early.
You got any family or friends coming this weekend?
My brother, his fiance, and I don't think my mom coming this weekend.
But that's going to be special playing in front of your brother.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely, because they don't get to get out here too often.
The Superdome. The man who played at LSU is going back to the Superdome in New Orleans. Morris, we thank you so much for stopping by inside the Jets. Good luck this weekend.
You're so good. We gave you both our seconds.
Yeah. We'll be right back.